that's going to be a little difficult to say just a few words. But I'd like to start, first of all, by saying amen to everything that we've already heard about Grace's life. She truly was a blessing to many. And on a personal note, my wife and I were blessed by her when we were getting married. And we called Grace and said, "Grace, would you play for us at the wedding?" And she not only said, "Of course," but she said, "Why don't you come over and we'll look at the music together and pick it out, and then we'll have dinner." And so we had that opportunity to be in her home. I can remember what she cooked. It was good. And then we went over the music, and she had one concern, and when I say this, she'll connect it right away with Grace. She had one concern about playing the organ. We were married in July, and she said, "Philip, if it's too hot in the auditorium, the organ and the piano will not be in tune, and we cannot use both." And, you know, me, doesn't matter to me, it sounds good, you know. Grace, you know, who's going to know? Well, it turned out that it wasn't too warm, and we got to have both the organ and the piano. I just wanted to share a little bit this morning. I thought maybe I should write things down, but I didn't. And so I'll just try to share from my heart. It seems the Lord gave me a unique opportunity in these last few months to get a little bit closer to my cousin. I'm not sure why that was. Maybe, as Eddie said, because I work not too far from St. Vincent's Hospital, and so I had the privilege of chauffeuring her a number of times to the hospital, picking her up and taking her home, and then also visiting with her. And those times were very precious to me. And it showed me the depth of her experience with God. We all know how sick Grace was, and she knew that. But in the midst of that, in the midst of this severe trial, her desire was to trust her God. And that was expressed on more than one occasion. I've been blessed a number of times by Grace's giving. One of the gifts she gave me was a CD by the Salvation Army, or by some Salvation Army men. One was mentioned last night, Herbert Booth, the Booth family, and he gave us some precious songs. And she gave me that CD. "Mighty to Save" is the title of it. And I would play it often. And these last times that we were together, I had it on in the car. And just two songs I wanted to mention this morning. I feel that's a way to pay tribute to Grace, because she was so fond of music. One of them is familiar to us, that blessed her recently. And it was the one that says, "Grace, there is my every debt to pay. Blood to wash my every sin away. Power to keep me sinless day by day. For me. And she relayed how God had made that very real to her. "All the rivers of thy grace I claim. Over every promise write my name. As I am, I come believing. As thou art, thou dost receiving. Bid me rise a free and pardoned slave, master o'er my sin, the world, the grave, charging me to preach thy power to save to sin-bound souls." What a testimony. And she held on to that. You know, in the midst of the trial, we're tempted maybe to be a little discouraged. But she said someone had come to visit her on a day when she felt really low. And she said, "I asked that person to sing with me. And this was the song, 'Grace, there is my every debt to pay. And she said that brought back the assurance and the peace that God was with me, that he had not forsaken me. And then there was another song that played on that CD, maybe not too familiar to us, but another song written by Herbert Booth, and it speaks about trusting the Lord. Blessed Lord, in thee is refuge, safety for my trembling soul, power to lift my head when drooping midst the angry billows roll. I will trust thee. I will trust thee. I will trust thee. All my life thou shalt control. And I truly believe that was Grace's testimony. Her desire, as we've heard, her life was lived under his control. And in her final days, it was her desire to trust him more. One thing she said to me, she said, Philip, I want to trust him more. I feel that I can do better along that line. And I thought, you know, Grace, you're going through such a hard trial. And yet her desire was to trust him. And how about us? You know, we can get discouraged about so many little things. And it kind of put me to shame. I feel somewhat ashamed. Lord, I need to trust you more. And I want to have that same desire. The second verse says this: in the past, too unbelieving, midst the tempest I have been, and my heart has slowly trusted what my eyes have never seen. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, teach me on thy arm to lean. Oh, for trust that brings the triumph when defeat seems strangely near. Oh, for faith that changes fighting into victory's ringing cheer. Faith triumphant, faith triumphant, faith triumphant, knowing not defeat or fear. I believe Grace exemplified that. A faith triumphant, yes, maybe not what we wanted to see happen. You know, I guess we're a little bit selfish. We like to hold on to the people we love. But her Lord and Master also loved her very much and took her to himself. You know, I don't know if I have too many aspirations, but if that's good or bad. But I have a literary aspiration. I want to write something. And I was hoping Grace would help me. I didn't think I could do it alone. Faith triumphant. It's by faith that we declare that this world is not our home. It's by faith that we plainly say we seek a country, a better country. It's by faith we journey toward that city. And it's by faith we cross over into our heavenly home. Just one more thought. I had been also thinking about the reading from 2 Corinthians that we considered this morning. Oh, I should say one more thing because you'll like this, you know. Before I get into that. About Grace, you know, she had a twinkle in her eye. When she said something funny, you know, witty, she had that little twinkle in her eye, almost a little mischievous, you know. And on one of my visits, in the hospital, I had grabbed my testament from work or my Bible, and I brought it along, and I read to her, and I started reading, and she stopped me. She said, King James Version. Who else reads the King James Version anymore? And it was funny, because I have an NIV also at work, and happened to pick up the King James. I said, thank you, Lord, for leading me right. But in the King James Version, it says there that this tabernacle, this tent, will be dissolved. And the pictures there, the words that Paul chooses are very significant. He talks about a tabernacle, a tent, and he also talks about a building. You know, that tent is something that's passing. It's not a permanent dwelling. And our time here on earth, the time we spend here in this body, it's passing. It passes away. But we have a building with God. We have a permanent home. And it goes on to say there that it's for this very purpose that God created us. That death would be swallowed up by life. And Grace has experienced that. Yes, we sorrow. We sorrow at the separation, at the loss. But our loss is her gain. And this is what God made us for. We're all destined to be eternally with our God. To be at home with the Lord forever. That's our hope. And that's God's purpose. And God has fulfilled that purpose now for Grace. And so let's press on. Let's make it our desire to please Him in everything. Can we live that way? Can we take Grace? May this not be just a passing emotion or feeling. Yes, we need to consider things that are eternal, but we need to keep our eyes fixed on the goal, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so, Grace, we'll meet again. We'll meet again in that eternal home that the Lord has prepared for us. Let's be faithful to God. Let's live by faith. Let's declare that this world is not our home. Let's please the Lord in everything. Amen.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance to flat-hearted and free. This is the pathway.
Thank you, Phil.